podcast, The Neil Haley Show, and Vote for the Other Guy podcast with our host, Gwen Samuel. Gwen, how are you? And I know good you're excited evening. About our guest.
Oh, yes. Neil, I am so ready for Dr. Perry because push has come to shove, and I, as a mama bear, ready to pick a fight to get our kids the education they deserve. So I'm excited to have our guest, who is the author of that title, by the way, Dr. Steve Perry. He's an American educator and, you know, travels across the country. He's an author. We know him as a personality, but I know him as a friend. We come from the same town, Middletown, Connecticut. He comes from humble beginnings, and I am so honored to have him on the show this evening because in Connecticut, our legislative session just ended. And as far as I'm concerned, they did not vote kids. I could stand to be corrected, and that's why I have Dr. Perry on. And so I want to talk about it, right? Are they voting kids, or do we have to vote for the other guy in November?
First of all, thank you so much, sis, for having me. Neil, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, too.
No, they're not voting children. This should be called the Board of Employment, not the Board of Education. The job of the people working in these systems is to keep their job. And we, as parents and community members, have got to get to a place where we have had enough. I watched yesterday an organization that we started called the Freedom Coalition for Choice Schools had a gala in New York City for where we honored Jeffrey Canada, a renowned educator, man I refer to as the godfather of this work. And there was a sizzle reel. And in the sizzle reel, you saw people like President Bill Clinton talking about how important it was for school choice. You see, in the sizzle reel, President Barack Hussein Obama talking about how important it was for school choice. There was a time when even the Democrats used to care about children. And they have punted on that, and they have made a commitment, an unholy alliance to the teachers union, who is a union. They are not teachers. They are there to make sure that there is no competition. In the same traditions as other unions, they want to make sure that there's only one way that you get to do the job, and it's to hire this particular group of people. So what has happened in Connecticut is that people, many of whom would call themselves advocates, who are legislators, have gone silent, and cat got their tongue, or the teachers union got their tongue. So they didn't, not only, and the governor among them, I mean, he's no better, lieutenant governor, they all did. They also, especially Black and Latin kids out, they couldn't wait to sell them out. And when I call them out for their behavior, they don't like it. Everyone on the left loves calling people on the right racists. But when their behavior is worse than the people they're calling racist, then what should we call them but racist? And calling a liberal a racist is like throwing water on a witch.
Wow. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you.
That's a huge surprise to hear that from you, Dr. Perry. Meaning it's you're right, because the movement for school choice was a bipartisan movement years ago. It was about, and it was basically, if you were not in the teachers, you know, the union's back pocket, you were going to fight for it. They just don't see it as an option anymore.
Senator Ted Kennedy was one of the people who was originally pushing for this. I mean, we're talking about, and this is, I want to make a really important point, and I need people to really lock in on this point, because we give the teachers union so much more power than they actually have. I'll tell you what I mean. When was the last big city mayor that was elected by the teachers union? New York City, not so much. Los Angeles, not so much. Go through. Now, Chicago recently. But most of the big cities, most of the urban centers, the teachers union didn't pick the person. Not only did they not pick the person there, but the teachers union did not pick Bill Clinton.
No.
George W. Bush, George H. Bush, they didn't pick them. They didn't pick Barack Obama. They actually picked the other woman. They picked Hillary Clinton. And every time they picked her, and every time she got a behind handed to her by someone who was for school choice, even when it was Donald Trump. Even when it was Donald Trump. So school choice is a galvanizing notion that cannot be overlooked. It brings together people from all political spectrums. It allows people who have no reason being at the same cookout to sit at the same cookout and discuss the same question. What school are you sending your child to? So right now, we know just by looking at data, the teachers union's juice continues to pour out. People don't care about them like they should.
And this is important that what you're speaking about. Hey, I'm going to kneel to what you just said, right? See, when I started as an advocate, I started with child pedestrian safety. They told me the unions were bad. So I focused on the union. So I focused on AFT. I focused on, they said, Lily Esposito. They said, Randy Weingarten. The problem is they have parents all over the place. And so I just moved as an advocate. I moved where the wind told me to go. But then I noticed it's just a bunch of rhetoric. And just at some point, we just have to center children. And we don't. We've done everything. I've said this as I started the vote for the other guy. So let me tell everyone what the vote for the other guy. Right? When I realized that no matter what we do, no matter how much marching we have done, no matter how much kumbaya we sang, no matter how many matching t-shirts and pizza parties and DJs and rallies, we go up to the state capitol, we march, you tell us to fight over here, parents go over there. They say go over there, we go over there.
Right.
But one thing I noticed they didn't talk about is the elected officials. So they tell me it's just the unions. The unions are only as powerful as lawmakers allow them to be. Because I never knew how teachers got in the classroom. If you ask parents anywhere, random, how do teachers come in the classroom? We don't even really know. As far as I'm concerned, it could have been a spontaneous combustion. Because compulsory education law sends a letter to the parents and say, based on where you live, this is where you must send your child. They don't care if it's safe. They don't care if the school is performing. It is based on zip code, regardless of the performance of the school. And see, but no one taught us to focus on lawmakers. And in the Black community, every year, we bring lawmakers into the Black churches, which are thermometers. If you think about the Black church in the Black community in the civil rights era, it is where we got our marching orders. Now, other peoples are going into vulnerable communities and telling us, if you vote for me today, I promise you I'll do something next year. But you told us that last year. And for some reason, our children don't matter. So the vote for the guy, for everyone listening, the vote for the other guy with Mama Bear Gwen Samuel is a podcast that is meant to unify parents, students, and community leaders, that we are advocating for transformative shift in public education. So what's the transformation? Period. We should be expanding educational opportunities for every child in America. Schools that work for children, you don't hear about them. It's for the children that the traditional public schools do not work for. And for the most part, that is going to be your Black, your brown, and your rural America, right? We keep making this, yes, it's about Black and Latino, but let's not forget rural America. When they're out in the boondocks where they don't get access to remote learning, you know, a quality internet services when the pandemic, I'm just saying. So this is about ensuring. So to vote for their guy, let me be very clear. We don't care about your political party. We don't care about your egos, and we don't care about your ideology. If we look at your voting record, these are incumbents now. I'm talking to the incumbent. If your voting record has voted against children in any aspect, we will be voting for the other guy or gal. Now, some have asked me, well, who is the other guy? And who is the other guy? Good question, community. We need to start going into our communities, talk to these community leaders that we know handle business. They're not in the limelight, but they get the job done. We should be encouraging people to run for office. But the problem why people are afraid to run for office is because of that messiness up on the Hill. We attack underdogs. We retaliate against parents, right? Anyone who wants to run, this current two-party system pushes people out. And so I'm hoping that with the vote for the other guy, that not only do we encourage people to run, but we understand the importance of voting. So I want to read a quote from John Glenn, and he was an astronaut. And he says this: by its very definition, civic responsibility means taking a healthy role in the life of one's community. That means that classroom lessons should be complemented by work outside of the classroom. Service learning does just that, tying community service to academic learning. The problem is we're not holding our current systems accountable. We deal with a pandemic that Black and Brown and rural America suffered the most. We are still in post-pandemic times. The children that were already in the gap are now in a abyss. And so that is why I asked Dr. Perry to join us. If he can just give us some, just based on being an educator, what do parents, what do voters, what do taxpayers need to be paying attention to before we go to those polls November 5th?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that we need to do. First of all, believe it or not, almost everything that you want to see changed could be changed by your local Board of Education. The local Board of Education is typically the largest public employer in your community. And in most cases, depending upon the size of the community, may be the largest employer, full stop. So they have the money. Stop letting them lie to you and tell you that they're underfunded. They have the assets, meaning they have buildings. And they have the capacity to create a new educational paradigm. They could create an all, every single one of your neighborhood school systems could decide that they're not going to be neighborhood anymore, and they could just be choice. They could put together separate themes if they wanted to. These are all things that that they could do. I put together those that point to make this point. We need people to run for local boards of education who are school choice leaders. Because what happens now is the teachers' unions put candidates up, and then when they win, when the teachers' union goes to negotiate their contracts, they negotiate their contracts with the people that they put in office. So what you see as the school system, the way it is the teachers union negotiating with the teachers union. Parents are not at the table. So when the teachers union talk about transparency, they're the most opaque of all organizations. They talk about dark money. Theirs is the darkest money. It's the darkest. So the first thing is I would encourage people to run for the local school board and or challenge your local school board every single meeting. Go in, disrupt, 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 until you get the school system you want. In addition to that, run for state and local office. And in the meantime, go in and disrupt. And finally, whether we like it or not, you have to contribute to campaigns. You have to raise money. Even if it's small donors, you get 100 people to give you a dollar to support a particular cause. Or two people, whatever the case is. But somewhere along the way, we have to change who's in office and to whom they answer. Because
yes,
what the teachers union and the CDC did to American children will not be corrected during this generation. Cannot be. We don't have enough years to correct the impact of taking children out of school for 2 years. We just don't have enough. We can't catch them up. We just can't. So we can only hope that the implications on the generations that follow won't be as great. I see all that to say we have to put new paradigms in place, and they have to happen immediately, which starts with us.
Well, thank you for that. So the year of this, so I was watching Club Shay Shay and Cat Williams. And Cat Williams told everybody out there that 2024 is the year of truth. And this has to be. So vote for the other guy. I mean, I'm hanging my hat on this podcast. All things civic education. We're going to go back to strengthening families. We are want to engage. So if you are a candidate considering running for, we don't care about your political party. So if you come on this show, we don't want to hear what your party affiliation is. We want to hear about your morals. We want to hear who you are as an individual. We want to hear your values, because you cannot tell me that everybody in Congress love kids. You cannot convince me of that with some of the votes that I can't even say that for Connecticut, because some of the things that we are voting against straight up harm kids. Huh. And we're not even talking about safety. We can't even get to the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, because everybody has an agenda, but what is best for the children. And so this is what the vote for the other guy is. So number one, if anyone's listening, it is about to get warm. You're about to have family reunions and cookouts. Do you know you can still be cute and in your bathing suit and still encourage someone to vote? Do you know you can still go to the cookout, eat the hamburgers and hot dogs, and talk to your cousins and your neighbors and them and say, are you registered to vote? Because did you know right now that in the state of Connecticut, because they didn't want to expand choice for 2 charter schools, I believe, and now some telling me it was a bigger budget, I believe the state of Connecticut, the whole state, they saying, Gwen, you're being naive. I believe politics is just like that. They did not want to get. They did not want to give $1 million to a Danbury charter school that has close to 50% of Latino kids they can't even find. They're not even enrolled in school. If that's not a public safety concern, I don't know what is. So when you are willing to not give $1 million, knowing that we pay $50,000 per inmate, it is time to vote for the other guy. In Middletown, they trying to bring in a charter school, and this is a public school. So I'm saying charter because that was the application process that they applied for. This was the school model they wanted. It could have been anything. But for Danbury and Middletown, they wanted charter schools. The people came together. Middletown population, Black population is small, but they came out in numbers saying we got one high school. It's bulging at the seams. We have racial tensions. We have children that can get into events. They're not, and they needed $4 million. My state loses $4 million in its fleet. When they do audits, they lose hundreds of millions of dollars in waste and abuse, but you wouldn't want to get $4 million. That is why we're voting for the other guy or the gal, because that's when you know that they will put politics over children. And so that is what we're saying. So number one, it is summertime. Back in the day during the civil rights era, the family voted as the unit. It wasn't just the mom and dad. It was the aunt. It was the children, a voting age. The whole family voted. They ate dinner together. They fellowshiped together. So if we are going to expand educational opportunities in Connecticut for the communities that are vulnerable, we're going to have to go back to old school ways of voting, getting families out there, you know, creating child care. Some people say they can't get out because their daughter may have a fever or their child may have fever. They can't get to the voting poll. Well, let's make sure we have child care workers so that we can work with families so they can get to the polls. We can incentivize it. We can have dinner. Right. So I will tell you now, we have 180 days until November 5th, 2024. That means every single day we should be talking about getting out the vote. We in Connecticut is one of the few states where if you are a convicted felon, as long as you haven't committed crimes against the state, which many of our lawmakers, don't get me to lie, but for the convicted felons, you can register to vote in the state of Connecticut if you haven't committed crimes to the state. So if you want to be a contributing person to society, here is a chance. Exercise your vote. Fight for those expanded job opportunities. Fight for those mental health services. But most importantly, if you were an incarcerated parent where your child was raised by a grandparent or a foster parent or adoptive parent, if you are now free, you have a chance to help your children by exercising your vote and voting for someone that cares about all children, not a select few.
One of the things I think we have to start with is why.
Why? Yeah, very good.
Every person who's a parent who has more than one child knows that all of our children are different. And I'm not talking about by race. I'm just talking about in the same house. I'm not talking about gender or sexuality. I'm just talking about the same house. And to think that the only way to determine where they go to school is where they live is foolhardy. So we know that that belies all the information that we have. Therefore, what then do we use as a determinant? You have to look at what the children's interests are, what their skills are, what their what excites them, what their learning styles are, size, school, same decisions that we use when we're making the decision to send a child to college. But even before we get there, because not everybody, some classes even about that statement from me, because not everybody even gets to the place where they can decide where to send a child to college. But those concerns that you have in your respective school can be addressed by sending them to a different school. And if your child is someone who you know has struggled with the school that they're in or the teachers that they've had, it may not be the teachers. It may be the whole school experience. He may just be in the wrong school. And if you don't have an opportunity to put him in the right school at the right time, because the right school may not stay the right school. A child may start off in a school and it may go well for a couple of years, and then you look up and he doesn't like it anymore. It doesn't work out for him, and you want to send him somewhere else. School choice is about making sure that, the child is central in this decision. They're the only one who matters. It isn't making sure that we keep X number of teachers employed in a certain community at a union school. It's about making sure that we put children in the academic setting that is best for them. Some children may be Montessori. Some children may be traditional. Some children may be a micro school or homeschool. Some children may be a Catholic school or a Protestant school, or maybe a Jewish school or any other kind of school setting. Who knows what's best for them? And again, if you look at many people have had different types of K-12 experiences. They went to a small private daycare. They may have then gone to a Montessori school for the first 5 years of school. Then they went to maybe a traditional middle school, only to go to a Catholic high school. That's school choice personified. That's because their parent or parents decided along the way that they needed to create an experience from a menu of choices that would allow that child to become their best self. And then they may have gone off to a public college.
So we know all that. So the why. So what should a parent? So we're talking about the why. What is the why? Right? Why are they voting? Why are they sending their kids? So what is the why? Help us understand the why. Because if we don't know our why, then we're just sending them. We're doing it a habit, right? I sent my children. I didn't understand my why when I was a 24-year-old parent. I knew the law sent me a letter and said I must send that baby to that school over there. My mother got one to Lawrence, Kegwinville. So how? What should parents be thinking about? You know,
parents should be thinking about one thing: their child. That's it. They don't need. You know, don't play me with the guilt of what about the other children?
Right.
What's that got to do with me? Tell them to leave too. Like, for real. I'm not telling them they have to stay in this raggedy ass school. They should go too. All of us should go. How about we all go together? Because here's what we find out. What we find out is that so often it's the case that the very same people who are claiming that we should stay in the public schools don't send their kids to those schools.
Yep.
How many legislators, both Black and Latin, Black, Latin, white, Asian, and other, don't send their kids to the schools that are in the district where the people who voted for them have to send their kids to school? They're not slick.
So here's the thing that really makes this difficult. And this is how I'm going to kind of close this of two people very passionate about education. And I thank you for your service, Dr. Perry, and thank you, Gwen, for your service to really help kids. My concern is this political season is very, very difficult. We're talking about just elections alone. We have to look at all local school boards, all these different things, who's voting for how school choice, and understand that this is a very, very difficult decision in November. This is a very difficult decision in everything because the lines have been drawn and who should be chosen is based on a movement instead of us creating our own movement for children. And how can we do that? That's the problem. How can we do that? How can we pick specific issues that we couldn't vote for either candidate for presidency? We couldn't vote for either candidate in Congress. We couldn't even for local school boards. How can we make that difference and change?
See, this reason, right now, okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
One of the reasons why I think vote for the other guy or gal is so important is because what it presumes at its core is that the ones that we have are not working.
Period.
If we're just going to pause for a second, we'll just look at the national scene for a moment. Do we honestly think that the only two people in the United States of America who could be president are Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Like, really?
No.
The only two people in this great big country of so many talented and smart people, just those two guys? That's not a knock or a pledge for either of them. It's just an honest question. Do we honestly think that? No, we don't. But here's what the system has done. They said, here are the two. And it's zero sum.
That's it. Those are choices, and that's it.
But see, but I like what you're saying. So let me say what was being told to me. I remember when I was thinking about vote for the other guy, and I never forget, because I've been a Democrat, I've been a Republican, I'm an unaffiliated. I am so disgusted. I don't know if it's in the water they're drinking up there. I think people have lost their minds, and nobody can say, so I'm saying. And so, but here's the thing. They told me, well, Ms. Samuel, people just can't vote a single issue. And why can't I? Everything intersects with education. Economics intersects. If they can't do math, then I mean, they can't even know if their paycheck, take that back. They can't even get a paycheck because they can't even read to apply for their application to get a job to then one day get a check when we look at illiteracy rates. So yes, we can. I believe if the country says we're not going to harm children, period, that is how we can get other candidates in the office. See, right now, I think there's a bunch of fear mongering. They've made fear control, right? And so right now, that's why the vote for the guy, we're talking to the underdogs. We're saying, you have a national platform, Neil, because we're not endorsing any candidates. We're just saying we want to make sure the underdogs, we want to make sure that those that want to put their hats in the ring, that they can do so. That is what Vote for the Guy is. And that my job as a podcast is to make sure that individuals have the information so that they can make informed decisions at the voting poll. Because right now, vulnerable communities, they say vote row A, vote row B. And if you ask people who's in row A and they don't even know, they know one name, but they'll vote the whole row. So hopefully with Vote for the Other Guy, we can continue to educate folks to say we are no longer, as Black, brown, and poor people in rural America, voting blindly. We're going to know individuals' names. We're going to know what they represent.
And this is a huge movement. This is a huge movement that needs to go out in TikTok. It needs to go out and everywhere. And you look at and you talk to parents that have chosen public education. I myself chose public education by fighting my ex-wife not to allow public education, wanting to stay in a Catholic school, and she pushed them to the public. Well, this is a great public school we're paying for. Yeah, play that system. Play that system, get in that system when you know private school is going to do so much better. But then that goes back to waiting for Superman. That goes back to what you talked about, Jeffrey Canada. That goes back to that movement that I was so, why I started the Total Education Hour 15 years ago was, guess what, guys? The system we have isn't working. People would choose a school where teachers care. Teachers want to see success of the kids. They're willing to compete in that environment. They want to be the very best teachers on the block. They want their kids to be safe. They consider them their kids. And that's private education. And that's charter schools. And that's school choice. And the bottom line is, if we're going to continue to protect the teachers unions, we're never going to get that out of public schools. And we're constantly not going to get the best education for kids. And that's why we're running into a system where kids don't want to work as hard. That came into the, I guess, the before Generation X, my kids, and the kids after that coming out, they're not going to want to look at the American dream in the United States, Dr. Perry. Because they'll never be challenged.
Oh, they're going to be challenged. We're just going to say right now, if you are currently in office and if you are going to be choosing unions and adults over children, then we promise you, Girl Scout Honor, we're going to do our very best to vote for the other guy or gal. Now, you're thinking the people are so asleep that we are okay and we are happy with what you're doing. They have lost their minds. And I'm saying that even in my state, we have Congress people who are currently in office that weren't the chosen one. And they've forgotten they weren't the chosen one. So,
Dr. Perry, last point, place people can find information on you, your final point for tonight's show.
First of all, thank you for Neil, for staying in the fight.
Yes, thank you.
Our children are worth it. One of the things that Jeffrey Canada said last night is they're coming for you. These large unions who are making untold amounts of money in their torrid pursuits are going to come for those of us who dare speak against them. So we just need to be ready for the fight. The good thing is that they're not that good at fighting. They're cowards. And as such, they take the route that cowards take, which is to name call and try to lie and undermine the work that we do. Because if you just put the data in front of them and you call them on their own mess, like the president, of Chicago's teachers union, who sends her child to a private Catholic school, she's a hypocrite. So I say that the fight is real and is worth it.
Yes.
Continue the fight. I thank you for allowing me to join you for a spell. I still got some work to do tonight. So thank you both. It's a real pleasure to see you again, Gwen, and it's a pleasure to meet you, brother.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Where can we find best? You have a website, right?
Dr. Steve Perry on all the platforms.
Okay. Sounds good.
My man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. That was a special simulcast. Neil Haley Show, and vote for the other guy, guys. Take care.